Kathy Reichs is a forensic anthropologist, an academic, and the author of 23 best-selling Temperance Brennan novels, which served as the inspiration for the hit TV series Bones, whose 12 seasons made it the longest-running one-hour drama series produced by 20th Century Fox Television. Dr. Reichs' first novel, Deja Dead, was published in 1997, became an international bestseller, and won the Ellis Award for Best First Novel. Her brand-new book, Fire and Bones, is her 23rd novel featuring forensic anthropologist Temperance Brennan. She's got much in common with her fictional counterpart. Both are only one of only 100 forensic anthropologists certified by the American Board of Forensic Anthropology. And from solving real-life cases to creating captivating fiction, Dr. Reichs' decades of work blurs the lines between science and storytelling, and we're thrilled to dive into her world, learn more about what drives her fascinating work. Dr. Reichs is promoting her latest book, Fire and Bones, with an appearance this evening, 6 p.m. at Barnes & Noble in the Villages, 1055 Old Camp Road in the Lake Sumter Market Square. Welcome to North Central Florida.
Well, thank you for having me down here.
It's a pleasure. I know you're based in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that many of your stories take place in the Carolinas and thereabouts. But in Fire and Bones, Dr. Brennan is called to a city familiar to the fans of the Bones TV series, Washington, D.C.
That's correct. And it's a city familiar to me. I never write about a place I don't know. I went to American University as an undergrad. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., and one of my daughters and two of my grandkids now live there.
Nothing is ever routine when it comes to Dr. Temperance Brennan. She's expecting a routine investigation into the remnants of a devastating fire, but when an unexpected body is discovered in a hidden sub-basement, this straightforward case spirals into a complex mystery involving notorious bootleggers and racketeers from the 30s and a new ally in telejournalist Ivy Doyle. What can you tell us about this new character?
She's a bit younger than Tempe. She's a friend of Tempe's daughter, Katie, but a bit older than Katie. So she kind of, I'm a little vague on exactly how old anybody is in my books,
yeah.
But she's a lot like Tempe. Usually Tempe doesn't like to interact with the media, especially when she's working on a case, but somehow this woman persuades her and they get along and they work together to try to figure out particularly why was this tiny little woman buried in this sub-basement that wasn't on any of the plans of this old building that burned down, old building in a neighborhood called Foggy Bottom. And I just love the name of that area, Foggy Bottom.
And that's a real area.
It is. I wanted to call the book Foggy Bottom Bones, and my publisher said, no, we're not doing that.
So I love these historical twists that are in your stories.
As I write the story, I know I'm not a big outliner, but I'll outline the beginning, maybe 6 or 8 chapters, and then I know how it's going to end. But I don't always anticipate all the twists that I put in along the way. And I think that's fun for the reader, because the readers of thrillers try to figure out the ending before the author tells you.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is to put enough twists in that it makes it more of a challenge for them to do that. Because I know if I read a thriller and I figure it out before the end, I'm a little disappointed in the author.
Mm. What thrillers interested you when you were, before you became a thriller writer? What mysteries? Were the books, films? What inspired you?
Oh, I like reading. What I like to read is fairly dark. I like reading crime and thriller books. I like, I always go blank. Tana French is one of my favorites. Michael Connelly, of course, is very good. Karen Slaughter is very good. But I read all over the map. I don't just read thrillers and mysteries.
The forensic detail that you include is really fascinating. And obviously, you write from what you know. Did you have any concerns about it being off-putting to folks?
No, I don't shy away from putting in detail. I think people who read my books like to learn something along the way. So I will describe what it's like, you know, at a crime scene or at a burnt, you know, the recovery of a burned body from a building or at an autopsy. But I never put anything in just for grisly sensationalism. It has to be there to advance the story.
I learned a lot from your books and from the TV show, too, like what remodeling is and just those kind of terms. But it's really captivating how you can mix all of that together.
Well, it's a challenge. And I think one mistake scientists put in or professors or whoever who decide to write fiction is they love their science, they love their area, and they try to put in too much detail. So I think the reader wants to learn a little bit, but you have to keep it brief, you have to keep it jargon-free, and you have to keep it entertaining, which I think that's the key to... They're murder mysteries. I write murder mysteries. The difference is the solution is driven partially, at least, by science.
Right. And your characters are really well developed. I mean, there's so many other characters. It's not all just scientists.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the 23rd book in the series. So you have to keep, just as with the television show, we did 246 episodes, 12 seasons. You have to keep the characters evolving. You have to keep their relationships evolving and changing. Otherwise, you know, your readers or your viewers are kind of lose interest, I think.
Yeah. Now, the TV series, The Interns, was always, I got a big kick out of the rotating cast of interns. I thought that was really, really fun.
Yeah, and that wasn't something we initially planned to do at the beginning. We started doing The Interns, in season, I don't know, two or three, mm-hmm. and bringing in different personalities with the different interns did lend a lot of fun to the show, I think.
Yeah, some of my favorites are when you had, like, all hands on deck, when you'd have all of the interns together to solve a big case.
Yeah, that didn't happen too often, but because it's hard to get those people. They're very hardworking actors and actresses. But yeah, that was fun.
It made it very special. I especially like the meta portions of the show where Dr. Brennan is also a writer and her character is you.
Yeah, they did a flip around thing. She's a forensic anthropologist is her day job. And then in her spare time, she writes novels, fictional stories about a fictional anthropologist named Kathy Reichs. And that was the idea of our executive producer, Hart Hansen.
Obviously, you thought it was okay. You went along with it. It made it fun.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the TV show was a little different from the books.
Yeah.
I think of TV Tempe and book Tempe. And I like that because when I sit down to write a Temperance Brennan book, I don't have to worry about what TV Tempe is doing. They're kind of different manifestations. Or TV Tempe is an earlier version. It's like Tempe the early years.
So you've got more than just the Temperance Brennan books. Tell us about The Virals.
Yeah, The Viral series, it's a young adult series. It's Temperance Brennan's 14-year-old great-niece, Tori Brennan. And it's set in Charleston, South Carolina. One of the things when you do middle school, not middle school, but young adults, they're like 14, 15-year-olds, mm-hmm. is how do you get them around? Well, boats in Charleston, they go everywhere in boats, which solved that problem. But she and Tori and her friends solve, you know, simple kind of high school level, middle school to high school level. Mysteries and problems using science at that level, but also they have some special skills, sensory skills they acquired. They kidnapped very briefly. They kidnapped a dog. They didn't know the dog had been the subject of experimentation with parvovirus, with a type of parvovirus that could now jump to humans. So the kids catch it, they recover from it, but they realize that their sensory perceptions have been changed. They can hear like a wolf. They can smell like a dog if somebody's lying or scared. They can see way beyond the human eye. So because kids love that, we combine that sort of supernatural quality with the problem, mystery solving problem.
So you've got 9 books in that series. Any discussion about bringing those stories to a screen?
We talk about it. I wrote those with my son, Brendan, and basically he dumped me. He signed a contract, and he did a 2-book series called The Nemesis Genesis and another 3-book series called The Dark Deep. So he's basically off on his own now. So I don't know that we could. It's possible we could do another one.
Well, looking forward to this new book, which is out now in hardback and also audiobooks. And you're doing a book signing tour. What can people expect when they come out to see you at Barnes & Noble in the Villages?
Well, I would hope to make it all about them, that we spend the time answering their questions. And I would like it just to be a conversational experience between me and them. And I can, you know, all these things that have been troubling them or questions they want to ask, we can clear all that up.
Fire and Bones is out now, and you can meet the writer, Kathy Reichs, at 6 p.m. the Barnes & Noble in the Villages, 1055 Old Camp Road in the Lake Sumter Market Square. I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it also.
All right. Oh, and a colleague of mine is waving me down. He wants to know if you have a favorite bone.
The humerus, of course, because it's funny.
That was his answer, too. All right.
Okay.
Dr. Kathy Reichs, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.